Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst, the trailer booking on Billy Bones, a Paolo Di Canio, a West Ham United. We celebrate our victories, we stick together in defeat. I'm proud of our history, West Ham United, more than just a podcast. More than just a podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is more than just a podcast.
Podcast.
Season 10, episode 33. We're no longer... Oh, we are. Are we still the top London club? I didn't look.
Yes,
currently.
I think we still are. We're still the London top club. No Nigel tonight, which means we could do whatever we want. So we'll be done in half an hour. but we have got George. George, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm in my living room recording a podcast with you, just shutting my curtains.
John, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm in my loft speaking to you and messaging my daughter who's asking me a question on my phone.
It is quite dark where you are. You've obviously got the lights off because we can see
the lights
today.
Are on. They're just...
You won't be able to see us, but...
It's just
mood lighting. And finally, Len, where are you? What are you doing?
In my studio doing a podcast with you.
Excellent. Anyway, we played City, the Blue Moons. And we lost. We gave it a valiant effort, boys, didn't we? John, let's start with you. Assuming
yeah, that, on,
did you see?
Go on, John.
Start with me, Sean. So I'm moving house next Monday, and I'm part of what I'm doing is I'm moving into a rental for a while. So I was at my rental property on Saturday working all day, so I didn't see the game.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll move on to Len because Len must have seen the game.
No, you so, know, Len... you know, I only caught the last hour, which is why you've moved on to me. Although, however, I will say that last hour, half hour or so, possibly one of the most energetic West Ham sides I've ever seen. I was really impressed. Right to the end, they were full tilt. So I'm pleased to see that. I don't think I would have took much notice if I'd have watched that the old game. But coming in, see us 2-1 down, and then, well, we went 2-1 down, and then we were just full pelt at it. It was really good to see, I thought. But that's all I can say about it, really. I'm sorry, guys.
Well, I heard and saw that we didn't capitulate, and we had a go at them, which was nice to
all
see.
Right, well, let's ask someone who actually watched it, shall we, John?
Arsenal.
Help me, George Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope. Of course I
did you
watched
watch
it.
Of course I watched it. I watched it beginning to end, believe it or not.
Oh, talk us about the build-up, the team selection, the goals, the triumphs, the downs and the ups, the talking points.
Flashpoints.
Well, I think overall, as John said, we didn't capitulate at any point. We were more than a match for them at times. I think we started a little bit slow. They came flying out the blocks, but I never really felt like they were going to score bundles of goals. Obviously, they scored in the first half, which is ironic that their two centre-backs
scored. So did we.
All right, I'm doing it in order.
Okay.
Yeah, their two centre backs scored their goals, didn't they? Which is, I don't know if that's a good or a bad sign.
What did you make of the first goal?
Well, you thought Randolph should have done better, didn't you, Sean?
I thought his positioning was poor, personally. I know you don't agree with me. I thought if Fabianski had been in, I think he positioned himself better.
I think the quality of De Bruyne's ball into the box and therefore the position that Diaz, I think it was scored, found himself, and the good connection he made with that quality ball kind of left Randolph with not a lot of hope. It was near him and it went through him, but I think it was too much for him. I don't think we should expect him to do more there. And obviously we scored just before half time, which was well deserved. I think we had a couple of chances where we could have scored.
629 minutes without conceding a goal.
Yeah, well, you made it on that after the commentators mentioned it. Then you mentioned it, didn't you, in the group?
I did know that before. Hang on a minute. I had written before the game that they hadn't conceded a goal at home for, 10.5 hours.
I'm sorry, I don't recap that.
That was on the 15th of December. An own goal, believe it or not, against West Brom. That was the last time they conceded at home.
I believe it.
So, yeah, we scored. I thought we deserved it. And Antonio was there to tap it in again. I think it was going wide. It looked like when he first scored.
It did, didn't it?
When he first scored, I didn't celebrate because I thought, oh, why has he touched that? He's offside. Yeah. And obviously, we found out he wasn't. And it's a good job we did touch it because it was going wide. So, went in at half-time, 1-1. Very happy with that. I think
Jesse Lingard, great. Fornals did have a great game.
But... Yeah, I can't say anyone played badly. The frustrating bit for me was...
Well, except for Randolph, because he
didn't
bad
play badly
for the second goal game.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Well, part of opinion, but okay.
Well, there you go. That's what it's all about. The frustrating bit for me was that their winning goal, turned out to be the winning goal, came from our poor decision with a free kick we had in our own half. Now, a few things happened between the free kick and the goal, but if the ball was up the other end of the pitch, it wouldn't have been a problem. So that's the one frustration. I think Declan Rice made a wrong decision there, and he put
Soufal
under pressure. Then it turned into a free kick. Then it turned into a goal, into a corner, then into a goal. So it's just frustrating things like that, because without little mistakes like that, I think we could have easily picked up a point. And at times I thought we could have nicked it. Obviously, we had a really good chance at the end. Header that perhaps they should have done better with right at the very end of the game.
Yeah, it's a Diop. For those who didn't watch it, it's a Diop near. I don't think it was a sitter. I think that was a bit.
No, it was a good chance.
It was a good opportunity to finish it. Yeah.
I did see that.
But I think I walked away from that game, full of confidence, to be honest, because if we can play like that against City, who are absolutely flying, breaking records left, right and centre, and give them a good game like that, then we deserve to be where we are.
We only lost by one goal. I know this sounds strange, but only losing by one goal and getting them to concede at home when they've only conceded 16 goals all season, I think was a bit of a triumph for West Ham. That might sound strange, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
I was worried we were going to get whacked 4 or 5-0. If I was,
I don't think we should call it a triumph. I think we should just be pleased with.
We gave it a go, didn't we? We didn't.
I think it shows a level of progression. We normally lose by four.
I mean, at times we were knocking the ball around like we were City.
Yeah,
and we were playing some really nice stuff, and they didn't look tired. As Len said, we looked energetic throughout the whole game. Who's got their phone on?
Is that you then, Sean?
It's my ring, isn't it?
Yeah. Boo.
Me for having my phone on before we even started recording.
Yeah. Have you got a sparkly sounding ring, Sean?
I have, yeah.
That's very nice. That's very nice.
Did you change yours in? No. I don't have my motion sensor on my ring, Sean.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
All right. So, yeah, that's my take on the...
Yeah, I think, obviously I did watch the game. I was a bit worried when obviously it was announced that Fabianski was out. Someone
what happened
trodden
to Fabianski?
On his arm. Huh?
Someone trod on his arm.
someone trod on his arm and his elbow swelled up. So I don't know who it was, but they kept that one quiet. No leaks before that one.
Good, isn't it?
Ryan Fredericks, once. Ryan Fredericks was out. He's got a groin strain. And obviously, Masuaku's still coming back and Bonner. But I thought defensively, we played very well. And, you know, all right, and maybe I gave Randolph a little bit of a hard time for being, you know, I thought Fabianski would have slightly had better positioning. I couldn't really fault him apart from that. And I thought, you know, the boys were proud. The moment for me, and I'll ask you for your man of the match in a minute, George. The moment for me, though, was when Soufal crouched on his haunches, I think is the word, and almost looked like he was sobbing. And David Moyes was asked afterwards, and he says, he thinks he could win every game, and he's absolutely gutted if he doesn't win. What a great thing, what a great mentality to have that, he was so upset because he didn't beat Man City. Did you see that, George?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I saw that bit.
I've seen it since on social media.
Everyone walks past him. Randolph, Pep, Creswell gives him a tap.
Yeah, Pep gave us a lot of plaudits as well. And, you know, there's a bit of a love-in from the media for David Moyes and many of the players. So,
well, rightly so. Yeah. I mean, he's having a great season. They're having a great season. Yeah.
Let's do a stat attack. Man City has 63%, which means they had 37. This is the interesting thing. Man City had 10 shots, three on target. West Ham had 9 shots, 3 on target. So it was quite an even game. If you take possession out, and we know Man City like to keep possession and press, the actual amount of shots and the shots on target were very, very similar. As you say, John, progression.
Yes.
Anything to say more on the City game?
No, not really. It was a plaster that we had to rip off, wasn't it, really? We had to get it out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, we all have to play them, and they are awesome. And I think we stood up to them better than most teams have in the past weeks. Yeah. At least we scored against them, as you say.
Yeah.
So it sounds like it. People seem more confident after watching that loss than they have been before.
Mm.
I definitely was, and I think I'm sure we'll talk about it in a second about who we got coming up. But we've got some hard games immediately, like in the short term. But then after that, we've got some very winnable games. Now I don't know how many points. I reckon we probably need, if we seriously talk about top four, we probably need another 18, 20 points.
Yeah.
And I think that's achievable.
We're going to talk about that in a minute.
I just think the good thing from what I've taken from it is that it wasn't, as I was saying on the other podcast about how, you know, against the Liverpool performance, how we felt looked like we were beaten before they even come on the pitch. The way they just performed from the offset. So it sounds like they've sort of getting on top of that. And if we can carry on like that against the bigger teams, then we're going to stand a chance, aren't we?
Yeah. Quick injury update. Fabianski almost certainly will be back. I was told 90% that is will be able to play against Leeds. Ryan Fredericks will be back. We won't get Masuaku back to mid-March. That will come too early for him. And obviously, we're not going to get Ogbonna or Yarmolenko back anytime soon.
What's Ogbonna's timescale then, Sean?
I think sometime in March. So it didn't need surgery, but he's got to get back to fitness. So I think it's, you know, sometime in March. Huh?
What was it?
It was, I think they call it a high ankle sprain. I don't exactly know what that is, but
twisted knee.
Yeah, not that high. Not quite that high. Nice one. So we don't play. In fact, we have a long rest. So we played on Saturday. We don't play till next Monday. So no podcast next Monday because we're playing Leeds. But nearly everyone around us plays three games. So I don't know if you know this, but everybody or just below us, so Liverpool, Chelsea, Spurs, Villa and Everton all have three games before we kick a ball again. So the chances
of us remaining three games,
yeah. And the reason it's three games is obviously we're last to play. So, you know, they would have played their game before us that weekend because we're last to play on the Monday. But they've got two other games before that. So Liverpool's already played their game. So at the moment, as you say, we're still fourth from 45 points. But Chelsea have two games to go. Liverpool 40 now. After their win,
so they've got two Chelsea.
They're 43. You're mispresenting it again, Sean.
So there's two more games to go.
So when after we played, each of them had three games. I haven't checked. Let me just tell you, right, who they each play.
Now, as we sit here now, there's two. They are playing two, and they're playing one more game before.
Played?
Yeah.
So let me just. This is what I wrote yesterday, and it was correct
must
at the time.
So it must be true.
So some of them would have been played. So Chelsea played Man United and drew. Right, they face Liverpool and Everton before we play Leeds. They've got two more games. Liverpool obviously have Sheffield United, who they played. They've got Chelsea and Fulham, so they've got two more games. Everton. Do they play Southampton?
Yeah, they're playing tonight.
Tonight. So they play Southampton, West Brom, and then Chelsea. Aston Villa play Sheffield United and Wolves. And Spurs play Burnley, who they beat, Fulham, and then Palace.
So the time. Sean was right. By the time we'd finish our game at 12 or 2 o'clock on Saturday, there was three games to go for these games.
But yeah, but as we're talking now it's two. Yeah,
well, I didn't. I was busy yesterday.
Oh, come on, Sean. Well.
Anyway, there is a possibility, worst case scenario, we could end up ninth if you do the maths. Which I did, math.
Where did Nigel?
Where do you think we will end up? Let's start with you, John. Considering you've just heard who the people playing around us and who might win, and I'm sure you've done it all in your head, where will we be by the time we play? Where will we be? We'll just make something up by the time
Just
we play
give me this. A second to compute it all. I reckon we'll be fifth.
Fifth, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, we're going to drop out the top four either way because Chelsea and Liverpool playing each other.
Yeah, you're
so
right.
So if one of them win or draw...
So where are you going, George?
We'll be down fifth or sixth.
Len?
Which is a shock horror. Oh, my God.
You're talking about by Monday.
Monday. By the time all these other games we just mentioned are played, and they play before us, so they have a game in hand on us.
I think we'll be sixth, which is not too shabby. Before the blossoms out, let's be honest.
I'm going to go seventh.
The thing about it all is that we're going to have a game in hand on everyone by 8 o'clock on Monday night. So if we can,
if we've got to beat Leeds, what I really would hate is if bloody Spurs win all three of their games.
Oh, what with Mourinho? Never.
What three games are you saying, Genshin? What three
well,
games?
Well, they've won one. All right, so they've won one game. If they win two more games,
you are such bloody journalist.
They probably will. They probably will because they're playing Burnley, Fulham, and Palace.
Yeah.
So they probably will come out.
So
there
Burnley,
point.
Burnley.
But all that matters
won.
Is that we're already ahead of them. So if we win the rest of our games, it's all going to be all right. Don't worry about it.
All right, but they will be ahead of us by Monday night if they beat Fulham and Palace, right? And then we will have to beat Leeds to go ahead of them. Yeah, I just worry after all the mind the gap stuff.
Fulham, no, worry. Fulham.
Oh, I didn't do any of the mind the gap stuff, did you?
Yeah, no. Sounds like Sean did.
A little bit. might be the wide out with you.
That's the biggest mistake, Sean, that you make over and over again.
Mind the gap. Yeah, I know.
You're the biggest Jonas on any group I'm on. Come out and say something, this is easy or something, and then they score.
On our Curry group, I haven't had to because the Brentford fan has gone absolutely mental on our group, hasn't he? So he's taking the pressure off me.
Yeah, they've lost the plot on there. But I like the way you keep trying to join in. It's got nothing to do with you.
I know. It's like to stir it. Anyway, let's move on.
I'll just say, Sean, if Tottenham do win their next two games, they're level on points with us. They'll go above us on goal difference.
Yeah, they will, on goal difference.
So it's okay. It's going to be all right.
All right, okay.
Relax.
In West Ham, in Moyes we trust.
If he's not playing.
Glenn Roeder obviously died yesterday. Very sad news. John, how do you remember Mr. Roeder?
I remember he wasn't well when he was with us. We'd done well first season, then he went down the next season with one of the best teams we've had.
Well, given 42 all points.
The young players, yeah. And the most points any team's been relegated with.
Yeah,
I don't remember him particularly fondly or harshly, to be honest. He sort of came and went. You know, I remember him getting appointed and thinking, I'm not sure about that. But then we finished seventh, so.
Well, he came in under Harry Redknapp as an assistant, didn't he?
Yeah.
Originally. George, do you remember him at all?
Promoted from
before your time.
No, he was not before my time. I do remember him being around. I remember the good season and the bad season, similar to what John said. I mean, he probably for me is, I think it's just what everybody else would say about his time with us, is he was probably one of the worst managers we had, in the fact that he took us down with that team. But as our friend Nigel rightly pointed out, it's got to be, isn't it? I mean, it's got to be his fault. He's the manager of the team. But as Nigel quite rightly said, you know, he had probably one of the best seasons we ever had the year before. And to go down on 42 points is very, very unlucky.
Yeah. He finished seventh 1 year. He signed David James, Thomas Repka, Don Hutchinson. Who else did he sign? Rufus Brevitt, Les Ferdinand, Lee Bowyer. Fell out with Paolo Di Canio. You forget all these things. Who else? Anyone else he signed? Trevor Sinclair, Freddie Canute.
He didn't try and sign Trevor Sinclair. Harry signed Trevor Sinclair and Freddie Canute, I think.
Oh, no, it said you're right. They left the club under him. You're right. Yeah, well done. Well played. Yeah,
Harry definitely signed Canute.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's terribly sad. And
especially
condolences to all his family and everything.
Yeah, especially as I thought, you know, obviously he left us when he first noticed he had a brain tumour in 2003. I didn't maybe realise he's still been suffering from that brain tumour for the last, 18 years.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
But there you go. Anyway, is there anything else we want to talk about today before we move on?
Go on, Sean, carry on. Apologies for the technical difficulties.
Yeah, apologies. We are using new software from Zencastr, and we've had a few teething problems both this episode and last episode. I'm trying to think, is there anything else that's happened in the last week that is newsworthy? I know one thing. Should we still be going back? I know David Moyes has said it's not fair. It's not not the word transparent. The integrity of the Premier League is at stake if we allowed one group of people to see a football match. So up to 15,000 people to go to the London Stadium to watch West Ham. But you weren't allowed to, you know, Southampton, who played us on the last day of the season, wouldn't be able to have their fans. He says, and Premier League going to lobby to have it 2 days earlier on the 15th of May to allow the last two matches to have with fans. What do you say, John? Do you care or just write off this season?
I don't question the integrity based on having some fans in the stadium, no. I think they should just play the last game if that's the date it falls in and just let whoever's fans are in place. Yeah. I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference. They're not going to be full stadium, are they? It's going to be percentage of people in the stadium. You know, and apparently we're rubbish with fans. So it won't make no difference to us.
That goes about the same. Len?
Yes, mate. I didn't hear the question.
The question is, David Moyes has said that, you know, it's one group, half of clubs shouldn't get to have fans on the last day of the season. It should be the last 2 weeks or nothing. So everybody gets a fair advantage. Do you agree or you don't care?
I think they should probably just scrap it for the season.
Yeah.
If it's going to be one. I mean, yeah. Just forget. He's got a point, but then again, that mutes the press's notion that we're better off without the fans anyway.
Yeah,
I don't know really. I think you've got to sort of make it fair for everybody, and I think that probably means not allowing fans in. Come on, we waited this long. We might as well just see the whole thing out.
Yeah, true. George, anything to add?
Nothing to add.
Okay. Last little bit of podcast gold. I don't know. Did you watch the Arsenal and Leicester game, George? Because I know you watch a lot of football.
Did I watch the Arsenal and Leicester game? When was that? Saturday? I did watch Arsenal and Leicester.
Did you hear them playing Bubbles and My Name's Ludo McClosco over the crowd
noise?
No,
but I have noticed it at other games. And do you know, there was I think it was a West Ham match and they were playing the Chelsea version of Bubbles, which is like West Ham, they fade and die, etc. And they were playing that over the West Ham game. So someone, whoever does that sound, isn't really a football fan and doesn't really understand the songs. It also still makes me laugh when something goes wide, hits the side netting and the crowd goes wild.
About 2 minutes after it's happened.
Hmm. Do we want to just talk about what we think we'll end up with in terms of top four? Because, as in points, because to give you some context, last year's top four, I've got it all in front of me, so I thought, why not?
Go on, then.
Liverpool, 99 points. Don't think we're getting there. Man City, 81. Man United and Chelsea both had 66. That's the top four. 66 points got top four last year. So we have 45 at the minute.
Yep, so 21 more points.
How many games to play? With 12 games to play. Do we reckon... the first question is, what do we reckon is going to get top four this year? And second question is, do we think we'll achieve that? Points total.
So what's our points per game? It was 1.8. So we've got 12 games left, yeah? I'll ask someone else while I just do a scientific
calculation. 1.73 is our points.
1.73.
Which, if you do that by 12, that gets us 20 points.
Yeah. I think that's achievable.
Which would take us to 65 points, which has got to be top four, isn't it?
I don't know about top four.
It's point off, George. You just said it.
Yeah, I think it's... I think top six or seventh is realistic. I don't think we've got any chance of getting top four, if I'm honest.
Not a chance?
No. Wow. I don't. Just my personal view.
Len, do you reckon we'll do it?
No, I don't. I think we just miss out. Although I'm just being healthily pessimistic. It's still a quarter of the season to go and a little bit more. We've got the potential to do it, but I think a few draws here and there might stop us. That's how I feel.
Well, the bookies...
I hope I'm wrong.
The bookies...
God, I hope I'm
wrong.
The
bookies make us the favourite outside of the top four, basically. So Man United, Liverpool, Leicester, Chelsea are the top four to get in. And then we're next. Then Tottenham after us.
Yeah, I mean, Chelsea look like the ones to sort of... If anyone's going to do it. And I'm sorry, George, I realise the impact it has on your daughter, but I think it might be Chelsea, really. They've just got that little bit bigger squad and some inertia with a new manager. But listen, let's hope we give them a good bit of competition. Be good, wouldn't it, to be top four?
Wouldn't
it? To skip the Europa and go straight into the big boys' league. How wonderful.
And then get knocked out first round.
Yeah, but we still get the money.
Do you still get the money?
Yeah. I'm not sure. I think it's changed. I don't think they go into the Europa League now, but don't quote me on that, because the whole situation's changed.
And there's a whole new tournament next year, isn't there? Like Europa
That's
League
correct.
2 or something.
Yeah. So. A bit like the Intertoto.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not the best person to
contact. Well, we've won that.
Yeah, we have.
Exactly.
We have. Any other business before we move to question time?
Don't think so.
No. Don't think so. Yeah.
It's Facebook, Twitter, question time. Well, I took charge this week and said... Well, what did I say? I said... podcasting tonight, but with Nigel off, we will only read out the top 10 questions, so make them good or no banana. So the first one I'm going to miss out is Canningtown Len, who said, well, no, I'm not going to read it, because actually there was a number of answers to that,
Sean,
which I'm also not going to read.
Sean, I've read Len's comment, and I've seen the response from the listeners.
Yeah.
And they're not taking well to this.
They're not, are they?
No.
Do you know what?
It is a
podcast.
it is our podcast. But I'd also remind ourselves that the people that comment on our Facebook page are the ones that want us to read out the questions.
Yeah,
so
but
it's not really a test.
And the irony is, there's not 10 questions. Yeah, the quicker you get on with it.
Funny thing, we haven't even got 10 questions. So we haven't even got 10 comments.
So that's what I was going to say. Do you want me to read the questions out? Because I could do it probably a little bit quicker than you.
Yeah, why don't you do it? Okay. Yeah, go on.
Alan Day says, evening, gentlemen. Good performance against the future champions on Saturday. Question, are you amazed with how well Lingard has settled in? I thought he was good. He does look quite a lot better than the rest of our attacking options. Definitely a next level player. Keep up the good work. 12 games to Wednesday night on the telly. I like your thinking, Alan.
Are you amazed? No, I am.
I'm surprised at how well and quickly he's kicked.
He surprised us.
But again, in Moyes we trust. I've obviously known something. And
he made the
something.
Right decision.
I'm pleased.
Are you amazed?
Very pleased. I'm not amazed. I'm very pleased.
Nick Harvey says, evening gents, top 10 questions only, what's happened to the People's Podcast?
Exactly.
He says, rest in peace Glenn Roeder. Very decent performance versus City, alas a disappointing result. Everyone gave their all, so no complaints from me, and it just shows how far we've progressed under Moyes. Is Antonio being selfish by going off to play for Jamaica when he struggles to stay fit for us? as always, Brady out.
I mean, the concern is, and I think...
is he going to play for Jamaica?
Yeah, he's said he is. But David Moyes says, look, he hasn't spoken to him about it. And obviously, with his hamstrings, there's always concerns from a selfish point of view. He doesn't want to put him at more risk.
I thought he played for England. Was it a friendly then? Was
he did, yeah. Not he wants to switch his allegiance. It's all the rage now, John.
Well, that's fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame him.
Well done, Nick. You made one of the special 10. Are you counting how many we're just
I'm just going to read them all, but quickly.
There's not 10 anyway. Yeah, there is. I should read them all.
There is. I don't think he's being selfish. I think he should be selfish at this stage of his career. And if he wants to go and play international football, good luck to him. Ed Hughes says, evening, gents. With Slavia doing so well when Sully goes back in summer to raid... When Sully goes back in the summer to raid for a striker, will the price be a lot more this time? So Slavia Prague, he's talking about. They're doing quite well.
Well, as you know, there's an interesting situation where Clarence Hugh, talking to a senior source, got a price that we were asked for Seema, their striker in the winter. And Jason, I forget his second name, who's the president of Slavia Prague, went out of his way on Twitter to say that's not true. My source says it is true. And one word against the other. But I guess the problem is he told his fans he their striker wasn't for sale, but everybody's for sale, particularly if you pay in the Czech League. So we'll see.
I think there will be a little bit of a premium on Slavia Prague's players going to West Ham.
Well, why not?
Yeah.
But hopefully not.
Well, if they were clever, though, they would, you know, given the success of the two players that have come across now, they would come to some agreement on a better sell-on clause or something. Just, yeah, let's agree. Get them in the shop window of the Premier League. And if they get, you know, everyone's talking about Suchek's getting looked at by Bayern and all this, you know, get a decent sell-on clause in it. That's what I would do.
Not a bad shout. I guess Soufal's more towards the end of his career, though, isn't he? He's in his late 20s, I think. So he might not get much money back if he did it that way. Depends on who you're selling.
That's it.
Sean Cronin says, when will athletics at the stadium be binned? Sean.
Well, they've got a 50-year contract with an option for another 50 years, so... and
about 100 years then.
100 years.
nothing for you to worry about, Sean.
No, I don't know if a deal will be done when the new Birmingham, aren't they? But they need to be bought out. Why should they give it up? You know, they've got almost a free stadium once or twice a year. What's in it for UK athletics to give it up? Nothing. So. Yeah, a good chance they'd be around for another. I think 5 years are already gone because we moved in 2016, didn't we? So 95 years.
Yep. Stuart Ling says, evening all, what are your thoughts on any GSB out protests taking place outside of the stadium between now and the end of this season once people are allowed back into open spaces? Been seeing a lot of conflicting opinions on social media about this now all of a sudden. What were the team doing so well?
Well, you know my view. I think it'd be ridiculous.
Support. You're all about supporting the regime, aren't you, Sean?
I think. No, I say the regime and the
support the team and the regime.
I say the team and the regime are intrinsically linked, as I said last week.
I disagree completely with that. They're not linked at all, are they?
Yeah, they are linked.
No, of course they're not.
They're not.
The board didn't pick the manager and appoint the manager.
Did. Yeah, they did. The wages.
Can we be fighting relegation 1 year and go for Champions League the next? You can't, it just proves it's not linked.
You cannot give them credit for David Moyes.
Yes, whatsoever. You can. And
no,
I will.
No, you can't.
I've just done it.
We know you will.
Yeah, well.
How can you, Sean, in your right mind? They kicked him out last time and they had no other choice.
Do you know what? It takes a lot of courage to admit you made a mistake and go back again.
Really?
Courage and bravery to appoint him for a second time.
They took the option.
Well done.
To take the cheapest option out of it.
Oh, it always has to be a negative view.
Sean, you can't give them credit for Moyes.
And then, you can, and I will, and I have, and I do.
Therefore, you can't link the board to the team in its performance.
I do, and I will, and I have.
If the team's doing well, it's not the board's fault. And if the team,
if the team doesn't do well and it gets relegated, it's the fault of the board. And if it does well, it's the manager and the players.
That's what I'm saying.
Hilarious.
I was getting there for you, Sean. I was doing it for you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Next question is Ethan Jobson, who says, all right, lad, I hope you're all right. Would you take some someone like Red Bull buying us for all the money that comes with it and become the English version of RB Leipzig, or stick with GSB and stay what we are doing? Love the pod. Brady out.
Brady out.
We talked about this before, haven't we?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
What do you think, Lynn? What do you think, Lynn? Would you become RB Hammers?
RB London.
I don't think that can happen. You can't do that, as we found out with the Cardiff City when they tried to do it. So there's no concern about that. Yeah, I'll take it.
Not a beer again, company. Not a beer company.
I'd love a beer company. You know I would. I hope you watch that documentary. No, yeah, I'll take it. But then I wouldn't be heartbroken if it didn't happen either. Because it wouldn't change my fan lifestyle, if you know what I mean. But yeah,
be careful what you wish
bring it
for.
On. Well, I think we'd have enough evidence that they've done a good job.
Red Bull
with
actually,
other clubs, Red Bull.
Red Bull have actually got a very good track record, I would agree.
Okay, then. Well,
they're very professional. They've actually got scouts.
They're not looking to expand their football
and things like that.
They came out and said they're not interested in buying us.
I'm not being funny. If a Premier League club's up for sale, surely Red Bull would be interested. Surely.
No, because you buy a championship. Smart people buy championship.
It's going to be extremely hard to get rid of these owners because they're extremely greedy. Very greedy. So they will never sell for a reasonable price. So it's going to be extremely hard to get rid of them.
I don't want to sell. Anyway, next.
Anyway, next, we're off to Twitter now. Someone's messaged Nigel directly. He's passed it on to us. First question time participant, go easy on me. Why don't we fill the subs bench with under-23s? Are the club looking to stop player fantasy football teams as a bot has picked up? Okay, there's a couple of questions here. Why don't we fill the subs bench with under-23s, Sean?
Why do we? Why don't we? Well, we do, haven't we? Frederick Alves was on the bench for the last three games.
We had Nathan Trott
on the bench on Saturday against City.
But I think what he's saying, when there's an extra berth there like there was at the weekend, apparently, why don't we put someone in there?
So was there an extra space on the bench on Saturday that we didn't fill?
Apparently so.
I don't know then.
Well, it would make sense. I think
you'll see there's been an under-23 person on the bench for the last 10 games. I might be wrong, but when available with our injury issues, Nathan Trott was that person. Last two games was Frederick Alves, who joined for 1.2 million from Danish club. He's come out and said, and whether he should be saying this or not on a Danish website, that David Moyes has promised him a few minutes on the pitch before the end of the season.
He's not very wise Alves then, is he?
No.
No.
By the way, little breaking news. I said Arthur Masuaku would be back in March. I'm sorry to report he won't be back to April, about mid-April. So sorry about that, guys.
That is a shame. Because he offers another option.
Yeah. I've got
Ben Johnson's probably playing pretty well, though.
I've got another Twitter one.
Go on, him.
Got another two here.
Go on, you do them then. I thought you didn't have them. Go on.
This is a good question, and I'd be interested to know if you know the answer to this, Sean. Are the club looking to stop player fantasy football teams? Now, this stems from a I think he's like a 17-year-old kid. He's got some bot that knows what users own what fantasy football teams.
I've heard about this.
And he's picked up the Premier League players and what transfers they make, and he's got a bot that tweets it.
Yeah.
And basically, it's caught Villa out because all the Villa players were taking Grealish out of the team, and no one knew that Grealish was injured in the media or in the public. And then there's now a clear claim that
I think it's going to be discussed. I've heard it's going to be discussed at the next Premier League meeting. I don't think it's a West Ham issue on its own, but the Premier League are worried about, you know, this goes with social media and everything else. And I think that clubs are likely to say to their players, if you run fantasy football, make sure you're anonymous or don't.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Don't drop your players when you know someone's missing. Mad. Hilarious.
Len subliminally told me to ask these in his hypnotic pixel manipulation creations.
I did.
Did you?
Who said this?
Wellinghammer.
I take no responsibility for anything, alone that.
There's a message from Wellinghammer saying, why don't you... Oh, no, you've done that one, haven't you? That was Wellinghammer as well.
Go on, read out Wellinghammer's message, Sean.
No, because you've already done that one.
Because I have.
Well, that wasn't... You said it was from Twitter. That wasn't from Twitter. That was...
Sean, just let things go. You haven't got to do and run everything.
I've done quite a few of these podcasts.
Okay, well done.
Remember, George used to present them, remember?
I remember, yeah.
It's George's podcast, Big Mouth.
Another one from Twitter. Another one from Twitter, @WestHam_K. Question for the pod. Why can't the rabid GSB out fans not enjoy this season and park their hatred of the board? If we are playing European football next season, will we still have been sold a dream but living a nightmare, as they like to say?
Fair point. Well,
Sean, I didn't know you had a new Twitter account, Sean.
It wasn't from me. I do agree with the sentiment of that tweet.
Well, I'd say, as a rabid GSB out fan, I am enjoying this season, and I still dislike the board and writing them out. And if we do play Premier League, Champions League football next season, I will enjoy that, but I will still dislike the board and hate the stadium and the day out at the ground and all
that.
I think
for a lot of people, West Ham_K, the damage is done.
Yeah,
that's what
can't be forgiven.
No, that's it. That's all I've got, Sean. Have you got anything else?
No.
There you go.
Len, what would be your answer to that question, Len?
The rabid one? I'd be concerned that we'd have to self isolate again if there was rabies about. But we should be all right. I think what you meant was, listen, I think people are entitled to think what they like. I'm not necessarily GSB out anymore. I'm certainly Brady out. They were to protest, I don't think there'll be as much protesters as previously, to be frank. But, you know, I defend their right to do it. You can understand why they're, regardless of the result, why they got the arse up with them. So if they want to do it, good luck to them, really. I won't call them rabid, necessarily. I know Sean would. Wouldn't you, Sean?
Yeah, well.
No,
Sean just loves them.
I'm just checking. There's a couple of ones you missed. Maybe they've come along since.
Go on, John, read them out.
Did you do the one by David Jones?
David Jones?
No, yeah, that's coming 6 minutes ago, so no, I didn't.
Oh, that's the reason why. Even in all, another good performance against a top-rate side. We certainly shouldn't be too demoralised. Very sad to hear the news on Glenn Roeder. Do you think he was treated poorly at the end of his tenure at West Ham? It's a question for Lennon. Was he treated poorly, John?
I didn't hear that, Sean. You broke up from
Was Glenn Roeder treated badly at the end of his tenure? I don't remember.
I don't really remember. I thought he just got relegated and they got rid of him, didn't they?
I remember a lot of hatred going his way.
I don't remember.
From the fans, was there not? I think that was because everyone was so frustrated that he was taking us down with a team that had Paolo Di Canio, Jermaine Defoe, Joe Cole,
Michael Carrick.
I think generally when you take a team down, the most times you get the sack, I think. I don't remember there being a great level of hatred towards him, but no, I'm not great with memory things. What do you remember, Len?
He didn't get the sack, did he? No.
He was relieved of his duties. He came back and then he was sacked. Yes, he was. When he lost to Rotherham United.
Yeah. But so he wasn't sacked straight away. No. But then again, they're not going to sack a guy.
Didn't he go off ill?
He did. He went off ill. Then came Brook in. And then he came back in the Championship and then got sacked after we lost to Rotherham United.
Because then Brooking...
Kick a man while he's down.
Yeah. We lost to Gillingham as well, under Brooking.
See, Brooking did... we had a little run of wins, didn't we, under him?
Yeah.
Towards the end, and that's why we got the 42 points and was surprised to go down.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, okay. I don't...
Question
I
for Len.
Right.
Dave Jones, when I was a kid, Tom and Jerry was my favourite cartoon. What was yours? And did it inspire you to follow it up as a career, Brady Out?
Brady Out? No, it didn't. I did like Tom and Jerry. Scooby-Doo.
Did it inspire you to become an artist? Ready?
No, to be quite honest, I think... I went from animation, really. I always liked it. But I knew that if I took up animation, rather than being a storyboard artist, or animated my storyboards, I wouldn't need to work with anybody else because I could foresee that coming, to be quite frank. I just saw the pattern of employment, that the less people you work with, the better off you'd be, which is quite cynical, but it's absolutely true. And every time I work with someone, I realise that's true because people are flaky.
Yeah.
And that's why, frankly. And I'm never going to look back. Ever.
Okay. Right. The last one.
Ever and ever.
Canning Town Len did say to my statement, I'm not agreeable to this. This is a statement, not a question. By the way, we had 11 replies. I'm not going to read out one of them. So, Ian Wilde. Richard Dodds, Marion Williams, Scott Crosslands, Vincent Matthews, Paul Nolan, Nick Harvey, Stelios, Kerriaku, Dave Jones and Belinda Cactus. I'm not reading out your questions if you don't like it, you know.
I didn't ask questions. I think
you're vicious. They didn't.
They were just giving us grief.
They're demoralised. They would all usually ask questions.
They're protesting. They've created
a... protesting. Good luck to them.
Sean out.
Because I was about to say that.
Sean out.
They're S out. They're S out. They
are. They should form a committee. That's what they should do.
Form a committee for longer
podcasts. We
need
another one of them.
We need 51 minutes. I will make no apologies for this.
51 minutes?
Huh?
51 minutes. This is beautiful. Yeah, isn't it?
We have to do a dance. Yeah.
So, what should we do? Predictions. What do we do? Right, predictions. John, Leeds United. We'll have two, won't we? Because will we have another one before we. Oh, we might.
No, podcast, we'll try and podcast next week.
Leeds.
Won't we?
Leeds.
Dirty
John.
Leeds.
Dirty
Leeds. I reckon we'll win 2-1.
2-1.
Because they're marvellous, though. We probably won't win if you listen to the press.
Marvellous.
They
Leeds.
Are incredible.
Fresh air.
Bielsa's Leeds, isn't it? It's Bielsa's Leeds.
Breath of fresh air.
Oh, that's incredible how good they are.
I think we'll win. I think it'll be 3-1. I think we should beat them comfortably.
Confidence.
Last words, but we should.
3-0, we're going to stuff them.
Yeah. 3-0.
That leaves me.
Get in there, then.
Get in. That leaves me with my 1-0.
You're 1-0, didn't it?
Yeah, I'll take that 1-0. It's been a short one tonight. We make no apologies. We have lives too, you know. Podcasts aren't just for Christmas.
You speak for yourself.
Lynn doesn't have a life. Obviously, Nigel doesn't have a life, but the rest of us do have a life. I've been Sean. John has been.
It's been a pleasure to be here, Sean, and see your lovely face.
Yeah, and George has been.
Enjoying it.
And Len has been
rather rushed and rushed. Angry that you
rushed. You got seven minutes. Go on. What do you want to talk about?
No, there's 20 comments on the. Did you read all the comments out after all that?
Yeah, we read every comment out.
You made a big fuss over nothing. That's typical GSB, that is.
Make a lot of a statement. Yeah, because sometimes we get 40 comments, right? And George
That's because
has his dinner.
We should embrace these people.
George has his dinner.
They are the lifeblood of the podcast. It's not
George
about
has
us,
his dinner.
Paul.
John has a life. I have a life. And it's just you two.
You can have a starters and a dessert
it's just
tonight.
You two saddos have got nothing else in your life that you want to carry on to tonight.
I was sitting in front of the laptop anyway. Man, I was to me.
You can carry on writing and doing your RT stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to. All right, then.
All right, then.
I haven't been much of a rush.
Come on, you humans.
Bobby Moore.
More than just a podcast. It's all right, Sean. You're going to realise in a minute that
more than just a podcast.
Back next week, someday.
It'll be a longer one.
Just play this podcast twice if you want a 2-hour podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.